be with you, be back. We're going to begin this morning a series of lessons called Here Am I, Send Me. Before we get into our lesson, though, let me tell you about some things that are going on. Immediately after our services this morning, we have a fellowship meal. We want to encourage all of you to stay, especially those of you who are visiting. We want you to stay, share a meal with us. Let us get to know you a little bit. During that meal, the ladies will be having a Ladies' Day planning meeting. So ladies, keep that in mind. If you want to be part of the planning for that event, then I guess we all going to meet in the library. Is that right? Ladies, get your food and go through the line and then go to the library and begin planning that event. Okay. On January the 19th, our third Sunday movie night, Brian will be showing this movie, Overcomer. This is a great movie. If you have not seen it, even if you have seen it, come and see it again. This is a really, really great movie. So I want to encourage you to plan to be here for that. 5 o'clock right here in the auditorium. And then, just to give you a heads up, our fourth Sunday fellowship this month, we have our annual, and I can't remember, this is at least our 15th, if not 16th, annual chili cook-off. Okay, our chili competition. And we're going to do something a little bit different this year. It is 5 o'clock, we'll be in the fellowship hall. We're making this, kind of combining this, and we have invited the neighborhood watch people to participate in this with us, our neighbors, okay, to do that, to do their chili and to come in and compete with us to do that. So we've opened it up to that. So it's going to be a big event. Hopefully we'll get a whole lot more folks here. Not only that, but we're going to go back to our judging in terms of what we were doing previously. And the sheriff is planning on being here, and at least a couple of other deputies who are going to be our official judges. So they're going to be looking for some arresting hot recipes for our chili cook-off. So plan to be here for that. If you cook chili, cook it, and plan to be in the competition. It's going to be a lot of fun. It always is. And so just looking forward to that event with, again, our neighbors. It's going to be a big part of that whole thing. Okay, here am I, send me. We're going to talk this morning about Isaiah's commission. As Chuck read for us as we began, when Isaiah was called by God to preach to the people a message, and we'll talk about that message here in just a moment. But what was Isaiah's response to what God was saying, and how does that relate to you and I today? Okay? You know, sometimes we may find ourselves, and I think a lot of times people are like this, you know, we've got some kind of a problem. In this case, the iceberg is melting, and you notice that phrase, somebody, or something rather, has to be done. Okay? We've got a problem, something has to be done. All right? And then we usually follow that up with something like this. Someone should do something. Okay? We need to find that someone who is willing to do something, to do whatever. And really, that's a big part of the problem. Oftentimes, people expect somebody else to be the one to respond to whatever needs to be done. Okay? This little cartoon here illustrates, and actually based on a true case in New York City, way back in the 70s, a young lady was mugged and murdered, and people sat there in the windows watching it, and nobody bothered to call for help. Because why? Everybody expects somebody else to do it. You say, somebody else will take care of that. All right? Here's a question for you. Why doesn't everybody do something? Okay, let that sink in for just a moment. Why doesn't everybody do something? Someone once said that they were looking for a church home and they wanted one of those memberships that were non-participating. Okay, I want a non-participating church membership. In other words, they just go and attend. They don't have to do anything. All right, well, we don't have any of those here. Okay, if you're part of the church family, then you need to be doing something. You need to be involved in doing something for the work of the Lord. Okay? Why don't people do things? Well, number one is because of risk. It's oftentimes too risky. If I do something, if I get involved, this thing might just blow up in my face. See? And so people oftentimes don't want to take the risk. How about this one? I just don't have time. Okay? How many times have you ever said that? You don't have to raise your hand. We've all been guilty of that. I don't have time to do this. And so we let someone else, or expect someone else to do it. Okay? How about this particular one? I know what the problem is. I know what the situation is, but it's none of my business. Okay? It's none of my business. So I'm not going to get involved. Okay? Well, if we use those excuses and we just let somebody else do it, who is going to do what needs to be done? And we're going to be primarily talking about evangelism and sharing the gospel with people in this series of lessons. But if you think about it, this applies to everything that needs to be done. Okay? Who's going to do it? We see something that needs to be done. Are we willing to say, here am I, send me, let me go ahead and do it? Or are we just going to sit back and wait for somebody else to do it? Okay? And the challenge that I'm bringing before us all is for us to be the one that says, here am I, send me. Whatever needs to be done, here I am. Let me go ahead and step up and do what needs to be done. Now, granted, not everybody can do everything. Right? Not everybody has been given the talent to do everything. Right? But the realization is everybody can do something. Okay? Not everybody can do everything, but everybody can do something. And so we need to find the some things that we can do, and we need to be doing those things. Here am I, send me. In this series of lessons, we're going to be looking at some various Bible figures. Right? And we're going to be looking at a couple of different things concerning each of those and looking at them as they relate to us, okay? And are we willing, and we look at those situations to say, here am I, send me. So with these different Bible people we're going to be looking at, we're going to ask, what was that person's need? Okay? Secondly, what was done about their need? And here's a big part of it. Who in my Jerusalem or my Judea is like that person? Identify someone that's my family, my friends, my co-workers, my neighbors, someone in my Jerusalem that is like that person. Okay? And then finally, here am I, send me. What do I need to do to respond to that need? Right? Now, this series of lessons is going to correspond with our Sunday morning Bible study lesson. Okay? For those of you who have not been attending Sunday morning Bible school, all right? 9:30 to 10:15, and we're going to be doing a study on Into All the World. It's basically, we're going to be looking at different circumstances and situations of evangelism to show us how and why and what we can be doing to reach other people for the Lord. Okay? If you normally are in our Bible class, or you haven't been, but you would like to start coming to our Sunday morning Bible class, see me afterwards, because I got a homework assignment for you. Okay? I've got a lesson for you to take and study over and be prepared for our discussions we begin next week. So that's what we'll be doing. We're going to coordinate both of these study times focused on sharing the gospel with people, helping people to find a relationship with the Lord. So, let's talk about Isaiah, okay? When Isaiah was called, he was commissioned to take a message to the Israelite people. And in this first part, we're going to look at this idea of being not worthy. I'm not worthy to do this. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1 starts out by telling us when this is all happening. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah says, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. So basically what happens is Isaiah is given the opportunity to look into the throne room of Almighty God. Okay? Just imagine what that must have been like. Now, I don't know about you, but you know, at different times in my life, I've thought about when I get to heaven, okay, I'm going to do such and such and so and so. Yeah, anybody ever thought about things like that? Say, oh, when I get there, I'm going to ask God about this. When I get there, I'm going to, you know. In reality, I think when we get there, we're going to be so awed, okay, by the presence of Almighty God that we're not going to be able to say a thing, okay? Just be awed by His presence and being in His presence. And this is what Isaiah has the opportunity to do, to look into the throne room of Almighty God. And what effect that had upon him. Okay? Because here's what happens. Okay? He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, he looks in there. He says, above his throne stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And he cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." That's what is happening in the throne room of Almighty God. Okay? I don't know about you, but to me, just reading that and just trying to picture that, envision that in my mind is just overwhelming. And Isaiah had the opportunity to see that. Okay? His response then to that. Verse 5, "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips. And I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Do you see what Isaiah is experiencing here? In being in the presence of Almighty God, in His throne room, Isaiah comes to terms, he comes face to face with his own sinfulness. He says, "I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be in the presence of Almighty God." He goes on to say, "Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And with it he touched my tongue and said, 'See, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for.'" In other words, Isaiah was cleansed at that moment and made holy in the eyes of God that he could be in God's presence. And I think he needed to have that experience so that he would be able to say in response, as we'll see in just a moment, "Here I am, send me." Okay? See, I think that there's a problem for a lot of Christians. Too many see themselves as being unworthy. Okay? Now, but here's a problem. Here's my take on that, okay? I think that the problem is that a lot of folks see themselves as unworthy, but it's not because of their sin. Okay? Because I'm afraid that too many times we don't really give a lot of attention to our sinfulness before God. But instead, I think sometimes we see ourselves as unworthy because perhaps maybe this. I don't know the Bible well enough. I can't go and teach other people because I don't know the Bible well enough, so therefore I'm unworthy. Well, you've heard me say before, and I don't pull any punches, you know that. So, you know, I don't apologize for stepping on your toes. If you don't know the Bible well enough, whose fault is that? Okay? all right? Study it more, or come to Bible classes and learn and study, and you'll learn it and you'll know it more, you see? But yet so many people use that as an excuse to not say, here am I, send me. They don't want to get involved. I mentioned a few moments ago. Okay? Don't have time. Too busy. The reality is that every one of us have the same amount of time as each other. There's 168 hours in a week, and all of us have the same amount. Nobody gets extra time, or nobody gets shortchanged on time. Okay? It's not a matter of whether we have time, it's what we do with the time that we have. Okay. Somebody said, this fellow Jim Rohn says, if you really want to do something, you'll find a way. If you don't, you'll find an excuse. And I think that's true. What are you looking for? Are you looking for a way, or are you looking for an excuse? See? And I like this one. I always wondered why somebody didn't do something about that, and then I realized I am somebody. And that's really what we're talking about here. Okay? Instead of sitting back and waiting for somebody else to step up and do it, to realize that I'm the somebody that needs to be doing it. And so here am I, send me. All right? Who will go for us? All right? Isaiah then heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And then I said, here I am, send me. God has a task that needed to be done. And he's calling upon Isaiah to take care of that task. It's a message, okay? All right? Message needed to be given to the Israelite people. All right? Let's talk about that message for a moment. All right? The message that Isaiah was to bring to the people, this is what God is sending him to do. That message basically was bad things are getting ready to happen to you. All right? Israel, that message says Israel is going to be destroyed because of their disobedience to God. That's the message that Isaiah was given to take to the Israelite people. The Assyrians and then the Babylonians are going to come, and they're going to bring God's judgment upon Israel because of Israel's disobedience. Now, some people might look at that and say, well, but the Assyrians and the Babylonians, they were evil, wicked people. Yes, they were. And God used them to get the attention of his people, who in many cases were just as evil as the Assyrians and the Babylonians. But the message that Isaiah was to bring was this, a message of destruction, a message of punishment because they were being disobedient. And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Destruction is coming, is what Isaiah was commissioned to tell the Israelite people. Isaiah responded, here am I, send me. Here's something that you and I need to understand. The message that you and I have to send today is very much the same. Okay? Judgment Day is coming. It's not going to be by the Assyrians or the Babylonians. It's going to be by the Lord himself. Judgment Day is coming. We have a message to bring to the world. To the people in our Jerusalem and our Judea, so that they can be saved. That was the purpose in part of Isaiah's message to the people, to get them to repent, those who would. And it's the same purpose for you and I today. Because destruction is coming to the world. We need to try to save as many as possible before that happens. Okay? In Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, for as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Look at what he says here. Their destiny is destruction. Okay? Their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. Destruction is coming. Now, that's not a message that people like to hear, is it? People like to hear that there's a lot of good things happening and everything's great and everything's lovely. But the reality is, destruction is coming. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Paul says to the church in Thessalonica, destruction is coming. Peter, in 2 Peter, says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is this promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. There are those, and by the way, he's talking about church people here, okay? He's talking about those who are believers in the Lord that are saying, when's he coming back? Things that keep going on the same, nothing's changed, he's not coming back. But they deliberately forget, he goes on to say, that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these same waters also, the world was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Destruction is coming. Judgment is coming. Okay. He goes on to say in verse 9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Okay. God is patient. When is this destruction coming? When is this judgment coming? When is the Lord coming back? I don't know. But it is coming. Okay. But do you notice in what he's saying here? The reason that he's waiting is because he doesn't want people to perish. He wants people to come to repentance, to be saved. So he's patient. He goes on to say, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. So Peter is painting this picture of what's going to happen when the Lord comes back again, when all this destruction takes place. This is what's going to happen. This is what it's going to be like. And then he goes on to say, since everything will be destroyed in this manner, what kind of people ought you to be? And then he answers that question. You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. So that's a day that we need to look forward to and say, well, you know, someone said in a country song, I don't remember who it was, said everybody wants to go to heaven, they just don't want to go right now. You say, why? Because we enjoy this world so much, we want to keep on living as long as possible. But here Peter's saying, we need to be looking forward to the day the Lord is coming back. And not only looking forward to it, but speed its coming. We've talked about this before. How in the world can you and I possibly speed up the coming of the Lord? Well, it goes back to, what is his purpose? He's patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And so our job, like Isaiah's, is one to share the message from God that he's coming back. And those who are outside of the Lord are going to be destroyed. We need to be sharing that message. The more that we share the message of salvation with people, more that are saved. Okay? We'll come to that point that I'm convinced of. The Lord will come back again when everyone who is saved, or who is going to be saved, rather, is saved. I'm convinced by what the Bible teaches that the Lord will not come back until that point is reached, and only He knows when that is. And so what our job is to share the message of the gospel with as many people as we can. The more we do that, the more that we speed up the coming of the Lord. Because we'll get to that point where everyone who is going to be saved is saved. We have a commission. Okay? The reality is that every single one of us in this room have people in our Jerusalem and in our Judea who are facing destruction. Whether it's family members, it's neighbors, it's co-workers, we have people in our Jerusalem. I know people in my life that are lost right now, and you do too. Okay? The question and the issue is, what are we going to do about it? Now, it's not that we can go and save them all. We can't make people be saved. God doesn't want us to try to force anyone. But we do have a responsibility to try to share the message with as many as we can so they have the opportunity to be saved. Okay? Who is going to go and tell those people in your Jerusalem and in your Judea if you don't? See? That's really what this is all about. Who's going to tell them? Are you willing to say, here am I, send me? Every single one of us has been given a commission. Okay? Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20. Therefore go, Jesus said, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. He has sent every single one of us that belong to Him to go into the world and make disciples. Will you go? Okay. Will you go? Finally, a remnant will remain. We need to understand that. Part of the message that Isaiah was to give to the Israelite people is that there would be a remnant that would remain. Yes, most would be destroyed because of their disobedience, but God would save a remnant. So there is also a message of hope there. Okay? He says in verse 13 of Isaiah 6, he goes on to say this, "And though a tenth remains in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth and the oak leave stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land." The Israelite people would be those who were not killed, would be most would be carried off captive to Babylon. Okay? And there they would remain for 70 years, and after that time, they would be brought back or allowed to go back and return to the land of Israel. We read about that in the Bible under Ezra and Nehemiah and the rebuilding of the temple and the rebuilding of the wall around Jerusalem. They were allowed to go back. God kept for Himself a remnant of the Israelite people that they would carry on His name as His people. The message that you and I have today is also a message of hope. So it's not where, you know, we just got to run around shouting to everybody, you know, the Lord's coming back, everybody needs to repent, you know, and He's going to destroy you if you don't belong to Him. It's not a message all of doom and gloom. It's a message of hope for those who will accept it. Okay? We need to share that message. Look at what Peter says. "And did the Lord not spare the ancient world, okay, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. So God didn't spare the ancient world. He destroyed it by flood, but in that process, he saved Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives. God knows how to do that. He goes on to say, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to the ashes and made an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust to the day of judgment to be punished. God knows how to do that. And that's the message we need to share with people. Outside of God, you're lost, but God knows how to save you, to rescue you from the destruction, if you will only let him do so. Paul, to the church in Thessalonica, tells us about what's going to happen. How is all this going to unfold? He says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's what's going to happen on that day when the Lord comes back again. Okay? Then we who are alive, that is those who are Christians, okay, who are still alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Okay? So basically, when the Lord comes back again, he's going to take all the dead, those who have already died in the Lord. We don't have to worry about them. And that's part of what Paul is addressing here. Those saying, well, wait a minute. What's going to happen to my brothers and sisters who have already died when the Lord comes back again? They've already died before he came. He says, don't worry about them. They're going to be the first ones to go and meet the Lord in the air. And after that, those who belong to the Lord that are still alive are going to be taken up to meet him too. What's going to be left? All those outside the Lord. And they'll be destroyed along with all the rest of the physical elements of this world. Okay. He says in verse 18, therefore, see, it is a message of hope, isn't it? He says, encourage one another with these words. The Lord is coming back. He's coming back. And when he comes back, he's going to take those who belong to him to be with him forever. Those who are not with him, those who don't belong to him, will be left here to be destroyed. That's a message we need to share with as many people as we can so that more people, when the Lord comes back again, will be able to join him forever. Now, let me tell you what we're going to do here. There is, on the wall, right next to my door, to my office, you'll see, and I don't know how well that shows up on there, here are my Send Me prayer list. Okay? What I would like for anybody to do, it's all voluntary, okay, put on there your name, and put the name of someone that is in your Jerusalem that you are focusing on, okay, that you want us to be praying for. And then maybe over to the side there in the third column is a place for you to just some kind of an indication of what their need might be. In other words, what specifically are we praying for that person for? Okay? And there's a whole lot of lines on there for folks. We fill that one up. We'll put up another one. And we're going to post this. And I want to encourage you, go by there and look at, not just put your name on there with somebody, but look at who else's. And let's be praying for the folks that we have in our Jerusalem that we're trying to reach out to and to save them and bring them to the Lord. All right? That's what that is all about. As we close this morning, I want to share with you a parable. Okay? Fred somebody, Thomas everybody, Peter anybody, and Joe nobody were neighbors. But they were not like you and me. They were odd people and most difficult to understand. And the way they lived was a shame. All four belong to the same church, but you would not enjoy worshiping with them. Everybody went fishing on Sunday and stayed home to visit with friends. Anybody wanted to worship but was afraid somebody wouldn't speak to him, so guess who went to church? Nobody. Really, nobody was the only decent one of the four. Nobody did the visitation. Nobody worked on the church building. Once they needed a Sunday school teacher, and everybody thought anybody would do it, and anybody thought somebody would do it, and you know who did it. That's exactly right, nobody. It happened that a fifth neighbor, an unbeliever, moved into the area. Everybody thought somebody should try to win him for Christ. Anybody should have made an effort. You probably know who finally won him. Nobody. This little parable brings to focus again the fact that each of us is personally responsible for God's work. If we leave it for somebody or everybody or anybody, nobody will do it. Let's work till Jesus comes. I like that parable. And it really emphasizes what we're talking about. Here am I, send me. Look at the people in your Jerusalem, in your Judea, and focus on just one person. And how do you need to respond to what their need is to try to bring them to the Lord so they can be saved? The challenge is here for us as a church. Here am I, send me. Maybe you've already thought of somebody in your Jerusalem that you want to target. You want to lift them up before the Lord. Let us know that, okay? Put their name on the prayer list out there in the foyer. You can let us know here this morning also. Maybe, as I've been sharing these things with you, maybe you're thinking about that, maybe you're one of those folks that has been content to let somebody else or everybody else do what needs to be done. I hope that if that's the case, that you realize how important it is for you to step up and say, here am I, send me. And if there's something that's keeping you from doing that, let's help you with it. If you need to learn more Bible to be more confident in sharing it, then let us know that. If there's something wrong with your time schedule or what have you, then let us know that. We'll work on that too. Whatever needs to be done. Somebody here this morning who's not yet given their life to Christ. You need to understand that you are separated from God by your sin. Until you remedy that, you'll continue to be lost. But the great news is you can fix that right now this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. You don't have to wait for anything. Tom has a song that he's chosen for us to sing as an invitation. And if there's anything that we can do, Dale will be in the back to receive anyone you'd like to have a private prayer or conversation with him. And I'll be right up front here to receive anyone who'd like to come up. Let's stand together and sing. Tom?